Okay. This is Beth Dean for the Washington County Museum interviewing Jose Jaime on Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. The interview is taking place at the Hillsborough Civic Center, and this is a follow-up interview from an interview that was taken by Michael O'Rourke for the museum on February 11th, 2001. Today's interview is mainly going to be regarding the Bracero program and Mr. Jaime's thoughts on how that has affected Washington County. So, Jose, can you tell us your family? You had brothers who were braceros. Can you tell us a little bit about what you remember from what they shared with you?
Sure. My name is Jose Jaime, and I am a resident of Washington County since 1986, although coming on and off since 1965. My experience with the Bracero program has been a direct experience because three of my brothers were braceros. My brother Tito, the oldest of 10 brothers and sisters, came way back in late 40s and 50s and worked in mostly in lemon orchards, avocado orchards, and vegetable orchards. And finally, he decided to settle down because he was a good worker, and his boss gave him the proper letters to become a permanent resident. He was very illiterate. He probably went to school maybe 3 or 4 years of elementary school. So my surprise with him was the fact that because of his hard work and mostly because of his dedication to his employer, he was able, in spite of his lack of education, to make life work better for himself here in the States. And of course, one of the advantages of the braceros was the fact that since they were working and they always think family, they would be sending money to the family. I still remember my parents receiving checks from my brother Tito. And we were always happy to receive those checks because it was gravy on the table, a little extra income that otherwise was hard to find in the agricultural life of my family. My second brother, he was the fourth brother. He came and spent quite a bit of time in Empalme, Mexico, where people were treated like basically like animals, even to the point of being fumigated to make sure that they didn't come with diseases to the States. Brings me tears because he was sent to California, not to California, to Arizona. And it was probably, Arizona was probably the worst state to go to work for the migrant braceros. And I was so surprised that watching a movie recently about braceros, how much and how hard they worked in Arizona to make very little money. Actually, they would make maybe $70, $80, or $90, but the final paycheck would be $1.70 or $2 or $3. This brings me a lot of sadness because at that time that my brother was a bracero in Arizona, I was a student in New Mexico. And because I had known and seen that my brother, my oldest brother in California, would be sending money to my parents every now and then, and my second brother was in Arizona, I thought, well, he's making dollars, and I don't have any money here in the college where I was studying. Maybe I should ask him for money because I wanted to buy a typewriter, one of those Hermes. I still remember the brand name, a Hermes typewriter. So I sent him a letter and told him that I needed to buy a typewriter, and it was from $90, they were selling it to me for $40. So it took him a while to collect the $40. He finally sent them to me, and I bought the typewriter. But after I watched that movie, I appreciate much, much more the fact that he sent me $40 at that time for me to buy that typewriter, which is still in the family. My youngest brother got to Empalme and was not recruited. He went through the whole process of decontamination or desanitation or whatever it was, just like cattle, and was never hoarded up to become a bracero in the States. So he stayed there for a couple of months, and I don't know how much suffering he went through, but I am pretty sure that not having any money, there was a lot of suffering for him, and finally he was able to make enough money to come back home. So my experience with the bracero program in the family is a very sad experience. Quite often moving me to tears, especially after watching that movie.
Did you talk to your brothers during the time they were working, or did they communicate any feedback?
And unfortunately, my brothers, when they would come home, the two brothers that that were braceros and came back home every now and then when they could, not earning that much money, they would come and for some reason or another, a lot of people tended to fantasize and saying how great this place was and how much money they had made, although it was doubtful that they really made that much money. And it was a common story among people that came up here to work as braceros and came back and telling people, you know, how life is so good in here and how much money and how easy it is to make the money. And they didn't talk about the suffering. They didn't talk about all that pain that they had to go through, at least in my family experience and in my town experience, because there were a lot of people that came as braceros.
What sentiment comes to mind when you hear the word bracero?
I don't know if it's a sentiment, but now I think of the braceros and tears. That would be what comes to mind, sadness, tears, sad history in the history of Mexico. The bracero program probably brought dollars to many, many braceros, but brought much more suffering for the braceros that made it up here and for the many wanted to be braceros and never made it and just came up to Empalme and to other places of recruitment and, you know, just suffered.
Now, in our research, we've learned that there were two bracero camps in Hillsboro, which is now Shoe Park, I guess, the old fairgrounds, between, I think, 1943 to 1947 when the program officially ended. But we don't see a lot of, we haven't found people maybe that stayed from that experience, but we do have an idea, or maybe it's a hypothesis that we haven't proven. Mm-hmm. But do you know of any connection with the bracero program in general across the United States? And maybe a connection to Washington County?
In my experience of the few people that I have encountered that were braceros, they don't live here in Washington County. Mm-hmm. They probably they are already dead. They lived in Portland. And they came mostly, the ones that came to Portland, they came to work in the railroad. And probably in the port of Portland too itself. It doesn't surprise me that that braceros came also here to Washington County, because it has been an agricultural community forever, and many people that I have encountered that have settled in this area did not come as braceros; they came on their own from Mexico. Mm-hmm. They knew the way to get up here. And they were attracted to Oregon because it was a seasonal type of work. And That's mostly what a lot of the people from Mexico that want to be workers in the States, they just wanted to be seasonal workers so that they could go back to their families,
right,
and probably bring in money and have a better life for their families in Mexico.
Mm. Now, can you describe a little bit more about the conditions that your family, was it in Morelos, Mexico, where mm-hmm. you're from? What were the conditions like for your family that necessitated or that maybe instigated your brothers to go?
I think the main reason why my oldest brother came up here was that working as a campesino in my hometown was not a trade that would enrich you. In fact, you had to work a lot, very hard, and just barely make ends meet. The other thing was that my brothers being so, you know, youthful, teenagers, strong, healthy, they didn't see themselves as, you know, staying there and work in the fields and just continue making ends meet and that's it. And when they saw the opportunity to come as braceros, like everybody else, all the youth of their time, that's what they wanted to be, because they thought, you know, you can come and just pick up dollars from the trees in Oregon or California or Arizona or in the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. What, seems like a strange question, but what is a bracero? What did you...
It all depends on how you break up the word, yeah, bracero. But if you refer to the braceros, the meaning of the word was that brazo is your arm. So a bracero is the person that works with his arms, with his brazos. Mm-hmm. However, if you put bracero into a context, it's a place where you make fire and where you cook from brasas.
Brasas.
Uh-huh.
I never thought about that.
Uh-huh. So a bracero is the place where you put the coal, light it, and then you put a comal, the pan, and cook the tortillas there. So those are the two meanings. I think when they thought of calling it the bracero program, it referred more to the brazos, to the arms, to the use of your being a handyman, especially in the fields.
Now, you have seen great changes in Washington County because you've been coming here starting in the 60s, mid-60s?
Yes, 60. I actually came back the first time to Washington County in 65 and 66.
So you, and back and forth, and then became permanent resident in
86.
Mm-hmm. So you've been here for a long time. What bracero program was a short, I mean, by determined by the bracero program, was short-lived in Oregon.
Correct.
So 42 to 47. But we see migrant labor. I don't know if it's connected. I don't know how to ask this question, I guess. But I...
Mm-hmm. Well, is
the county change with...
Is the migrant influx in Oregon, particularly in Washington County, connected to the bracero program? It is, but very... it's a very thin line of mm-hmm. connection. The connection was that there were some braceros that came here, and probably the voice got around, and they thought that Oregon is a good place to come to work because mm-hmm. it's agricultural. And most of the people that came as braceros came to work in the fields or in the railroad, but mostly in the fields. Mm-hmm. However, the word got around, and the need has been that in Oregon there was a need for a lot of agricultural workers. So in my experience in the 60s was that there were people here dedicated to go down to Mexico and recruit individuals and families to come up here and work seasonally in the crops, mostly all kinds of berries, corn, potatoes in this area. Later on, more families, especially from Texas, started to migrate to Oregon. So we had the mostly single men coming from Mexico, and mostly families coming from Texas and other states near the border of Texas. In fact, back in the early 70s, when Centro Cultural was founded, they had a program that was called Ormetex. Or for Oregon, Me for Mexicans, Tex for Texans, Ormetex. And they would do a lot of peace work, mostly for, not Intel, but there's another big company that...
Tektronix.
Mm. And they would be trained there, and then Tektronix would hire them. So that's later on, another program was developed that formed a group of churches that decided to subsidize 12 families to settle down, because we thought that in order to get rid of poverty, people needed to stop being migrants and to settle. So that group helped 12 families for 6 months with room and board and work. And they didn't have to pay anything so that they could buy their home. And that's how they stayed. And those families were actually the founders of Centro Cultural later on.
So was that the Catholic Church that did that?
Or no, several churches.
Several
churches here in Hillsborough.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a really nice program. Good program.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I heard you talk about that on Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Mm-hmm. So there is a connection, but very, very thin.
Mm-hmm. I guess my last sort of, maybe it's more of a theoretical question. Obviously, there's many perspectives to the Bracero program, which mm-hmm. you were saying. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, we hear people saying, well, you know, laborers came and harvested all the crop. I mean, they fed the United States and most of Europe and, you know, during World War II. And then we see the labor issues that were, you know, in camp conditions that were not up to par. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, theoretically, is this... how do we preserve this history? How do we get all those perspectives at this point?
I think doing this, what you're doing with me, doing it with many other, especially elderly Hispanics that have settled in this area, they could tell their story. Mm-hmm. Some of their stories are very fascinating. That would be one way of preserving the history. And you have to remember that... the Bracero program was not only a need of the United States to have cheap labor in agriculture and working for the trains, but it was a political time bomb. I mean, there were abuses from both sides, from both countries. From the States, there were clear abuses of treating them like animals or worse. And not taking care of really of all the promises that they made when they were being recruited, that they would have decent housing, which never was, that they would have food, room and board, which at best, if it was not lacking, it was not the best, it was probably the worst. So politically, it was a time bomb. And it affected a lot of the labor force here in the States, because a lot of people that would be hiring those braceros would be doing it not because they needed, which they did, the workers, but to pay less. Because if they would have hired people here, they would have had to pay more, because people here would know how to fight for their rights. Mm-hmm. Another political angle to this is the fact that Most of the times, especially the farm owners, they would look for cheap labor to make more money. And they would commit all kinds of abuses. And I was involved in many of those abuses when I was working in the 60s and then back in the 70s. But the legal system didn't do anything about it. I was going to say didn't do much, but I don't think they did anything to solve those problems. People would complain and everything, and it never got anywhere. I don't know if the farm owners were really of big influence in the political system or what, but a lot of suffering went on. Now, I think, and I am going back to the times when Cesar Chavez was the leader of and union organizer of the farm workers, I think people need to realize that the need of farm work labor, in which Mexicans appear to excel, is the type of work that Anglos don't want to do in here. And when people say that that we are taking the labor of the Anglos, it's such a lie, to say the least. That's one thing. And the other, even the people that are of Hispanic descent, they don't want to do that kind of work anymore. And the political system hopefully is looking at that, and hopefully we don't continue depending on programs like the Braceros to continue with our injustices.
I think my greatest fear in all of this is that we are continuing this this rhetoric that we're only preserving agricultural history of this really rich, you know, mm-hmm. Hispanic Latino community that exists in Washington County, which is not our intention, but we're also thinking, well, this is an important piece of history to research so that we can continue to build upon it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, that you never know if you're reinforcing those things or...
Of course. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything else that you would like to share about braceros, about people that you think maybe we should speak with, or?
As I said, I don't know if you can find many braceros anymore, but you can find a lot of migrant families that have been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think we need to focus ourselves in picking up their history. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, I think we should be doing a lot of research and to demythicize the fact that our people here, especially those who are not with proper documentation, are eating away our resources of food stamps and Medicare and health plans and everything because they don't qualify. It's a myth that they are getting our resources. Those that qualify is because they have already paid their dues. But the majority pay their dues without qualifying. So it's us that qualify, including all the Anglo community, that benefits because they all pay taxes. So I don't know people that are mentally closed to the fact that that we are draining the coffers of Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, they are never going to accept the fact that that they don't pay. I mean that they pay taxes, but they don't get any benefits. What we need to emphasize now is the fact that the Hispanic community, including the migrant community, are enriching this county in more ways than one. Look at all the flourishing Hispanic businesses in Hillsborough that have grown, more than 100-fold.
Yeah.
If you compare, and I like to quote this, but it can give you an illustration. If you compare the value of the Hispanic community in the United States and consider the Hispanic community as a nation, our economic power would be considered equal to being the 17th or 18th nation in the world.
So
that's the perspective that I have about the Hispanic community. So, and we are growing in every aspect. So, and we are a very young community. Yeah, all over the states, but particularly here in Oregon and here in Washington County. The majority of our Hispanic community is under 24 years old. So...
In the United States?
No, here, in Washington County.
124 years?
No, under 24 years.
Okay.
Average.
An average?
Mm-hmm. Not 124. 24.
24, I was like, that doesn't, okay, 24 years.
Uh-huh.
Average. Huh.
So that we are a very young community.
Yeah.
And we are here to stay.
Good. Well, I think the museum is, you know, to be more inclusive in what we're collecting and documenting in the county. I mean, this is what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at Braceros, but how do we really get a better picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The vibrancy of the community.
Unfortunately, the history of the Braceros is already going too fast into being relegated to the past.
Yes.
So maybe this would be the proper time to look for more individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that were directly involved. My involvement was directly in the sense that I had three brothers,
mm-hmm.
two that became Braceros and one wannabe. But I, myself, was not a Bracero. I came as a student. I came as one of the elite guys that came up here with proper documentation and to study.
Mm-hmm.
But they came to work and work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
I appreciate it. I'm going to take the off button. That's about half.